love the children, because our children, I need your help. Any children? Oh, Charlie. Child of heart, Charlie. I'm going to move this out of the way. Somewhere down here, actually. And another couple of notices. I'm going to get that out of the way. Do come out for Easter communion tonight. We have a chance to share communion together at 6:30. Roy is leading that service. Communion's always special. If you can't quite fit on the front row, then either grab a bit of floor. That's lovely. Excellent. So yeah, come out tonight, 6:30 for communion. And next week we have a baptismal service. Wonderful. 5 people being baptized, followed by a bring and share lunch. So bring something to share. That's how that works. Stay for lunch. That's going to be a wonderful time. And please do pray for those getting baptized, as they are mentioned on the notice sheet. So, children, do you know, at Easter, it's become traditional to have a Easter egg hunt. I don't know if you're likely to have one. You had one already, have you? Wow. Okay. And you know, we have from time to time had Easter egg hunts in the church during this service. Now I wonder, can any of you spot any Easter eggs this morning? Anywhere? Can you see any? Where do you think there are some Easter eggs? Oh, you're right. There's some Easter eggs. So I want you to help me to tell the Easter story in language that everyday people, adults and children today, can understand. Do you think we can do that? So I'm going to ask you, if you know what happened next is what I'm going to ask you about the story. If you know, you can speak into the microphone and tell everyone, okay? So let's start. It's always difficult to know where to start with this story, but we'll go back to the very last meal that Jesus had with his friends. Do you know the meal I mean, with the bread and the wine? You do? Do you want to tell me what happened next? Do you want to tell me what happened next after that? Do you know? You've forgotten. Okay, that's all right. It'll come back. Anybody else? What happened after that meal, Julio?
Well, Jesus went to pray in some kind of garden.
He did. He went to pray in the garden. His disciples went with him. Jesus went to pray in the garden. And what happened next, Josh?
He said, pray while he's going to pray, but they had fallen asleep.
That's right. You're right. The disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying. And then what happened? Oh, Toby.
The soldiers came and took him away and killed him.
That's brilliant. Well, you're absolutely right. The soldiers came and took him away. We'll just stop at that bit for a second. The soldiers came and took him away. Now, how do you think the disciples would have felt at that point when Jesus was taken away, he was arrested? What do you think, Finn?
Sad and angry.
Sad and angry, I think so, yes. Lily?
Scared.
Scared, frightened. What do you think, Kate?
Annoyed.
Annoyed, yeah. I think they might have felt something else as well. I think they might have felt something like this. She's right, children. Don't do this over there tonight. If anybody's seen me paint before, anything could happen. So, let me see. I think they might have felt a bit like this. They might have been a bit confused. Because they'd followed Jesus. Sorry, I've lost my mic down here and it's crackling away. Because they'd they'd followed Jesus. They'd come to believe that he was the Messiah. God chose, God's chosen one, his chosen king, to come and bring God's kingdom in. And he was going to bring them, just going to save them. And now he was taken by the disciples. Can anyone do a confused? Let's see your confused faces. Adults, can you do confused faces as well? I think they'd be confused. They don't know what was happening. What was going on? And what happened next? Who knows what happened next? He was taken and arrested. What do you think? Do you want to say again? Not sure? Okay, somebody going to help out? What happened next? What happened to Jesus next?
Didn't he get put on a cross and one of the two people next to him on different crosses, and one of them said, if you're the Messiah, then get them down from the cross. And then the other one said that they're getting what they deserved.
That's right, yes, he was taken, wasn't he? That was a very full and comprehensive answer, thank you. Your dad would be very pleased, because that means he was listening last week. That's right, he was taken, he was put on a cross. He was nailed on a cross, and he died. How would they have felt then, do you think, the disciples? How would the disciples have felt? What do you think?
Very sad.
Very, do you think they would have felt like this? That's exactly how they felt. Yeah. Thank you for that. It's quite a big teardrop because they were very sad. Can you imagine? This was their friend, their Lord, the one they'd followed, and he was dying on that cross. And then there was a very, very sad Saturday. And they wondered what on earth was going to happen, and they were frightened and they were scared and confused, but also very, very sad all through the Saturday. And then what happened Sunday morning? Who hasn't spoken yet? You're not sure. Come on then, Irvin. Sorry.
He rose.
He rose. Who found? Who went to the tomb first?
Mary and her friends.
That's right. The women, Mary and her friends. They went to the tomb on Saturday morning, and they found that the tomb was
empty.
Empty. Can you imagine how they must have felt? They must have felt like this. Imagine their surprise. The tomb is empty. What's happened to the body? What's happened to Jesus? And then, what happened next? Who knows? Who hasn't spoken yet? Are you going to say something? What happened next? No? Okay. Any ideas? What do you think, Benjamin? Okay, so they came away from the tomb. Do you think about Mary coming away from the tomb in the reading that we had? Lily, what do you think?
She ran and told the others,
but Mary saw someone, didn't she? Oh, what do you think?
So Mary saw Jesus, but Mary thought Jesus was the gardener.
That's exactly right. Mary thought Jesus was the gardener, and she said, "What's happened to the body? Do you know where they've laid them?" And the gardener said one word. The person she thought was the gardener, what did she say? Do we all know? Can we all call it out? Mary. The gardener said Mary's name. And that's all it took, because Mary then realized that Jesus was alive. He wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. Can you imagine how they felt? Oh, here we go. I'm not sure I can draw this effectively enough to express how they must have felt. He could do some tears. Should I have some tears? Okay, I haven't got any more tears to put on. But that's a good idea. They were not just as happy as that. They were really, really, really happy. Because Jesus was alive. He wasn't dead anymore. That's astonishing. That meant that all that he came to do, that when they said they thought he'd not succeeded in doing, he had done. It meant that he had brought the salvation that they wanted. They were going to be saved. It meant that death did not have the last word. That death had been defeated and destroyed. That is amazing. You know, there are times in our lives when we feel very confused, don't there? We don't understand what's happening. Can we all do a confused face again? Adults as well? Yes, yeah, all confused. There are times in our lives when we all feel very sad, when things happen and we feel very sad. Can you do a sad face? I said sad, not grumpy, adults. Sad face, because things happen and they make us sad. There are times when things surprise us. Can we do a surprise face? And all those things happen in our lives, but this is the truth. Because we know Jesus is alive, that changes everything. Because whatever else happens in our lives, however else we might feel at different stages, we still feel those things. But deep down, we know Jesus is alive. So deep down, we can be joyful and full of praise because we know that whatever happens here, Jesus is alive and our hope is in him and we can live with him forever. That is amazing. Can we do a really happy face? And see if you can keep that up right the way through this next song that we're going to sing that we cannot possibly sing with sad or grumpy faces. Oh, happy day. Welcome. If you want to go back to where you were before, that's fine too. That's up to you. So, we had, leading up to Easter, we had a series and we looked at Jesus' words on the cross. Seven things he said on the cross, his last words. And so as I was thinking about today, I thought, well, what if we were to think about the first things he said, his first words, after he rose to life again? And it's very interesting because the different gospels, the different gospel writers, have different aspects, different angles of this, different people they concentrate on. Matthew thinks about the women who came to the tomb and they found the tomb empty. And as they went away, Matthew tells us that they met Jesus. And Jesus said, "Greetings, do not be afraid." That's what Jesus said to them. Mark's gospel, interestingly, the most reliable ending we have for Mark's gospel, doesn't record anything that Jesus said after his resurrection. In Luke's gospel, we have, you remember the two friends on the road from Jerusalem to the town called Emmaus, and there were two followers of Jesus, and Jesus drew alongside them, but they didn't recognize him. And he asked them, "What's been going on in Jerusalem?" And they told him what had been happening. And then in John's gospel, we're back at that tomb on the early morning, and this time John concentrates on Mary. Do you remember Anne read that episode earlier? That Mary's at the tomb, and the tomb is empty, and she's upset, and then she sees a figure, she thinks the gardener. She asks, "Where have you taken my Lord?" And that figure says to her that one word, "Mary." And she turns. And that's the first thing. Imagine how excited she must feel as she realized that Jesus is alive. Jesus' heart beats again. Thinking about those heartbeats. When Mary sees Jesus. There we go, sorry. Mary sees Jesus alive. She knows that his heart beats. He's alive again. And that is an amazing thing. You know, we say that, don't we? But just step away a bit and think how ridiculous that is. That this man who was dead is now alive. That's a ridiculous thing to say. That doesn't happen, does it? There's a story about a sly old fox who was walking past a mountain cave, and in the mountain cave lived a mountain lion, a very fierce mountain lion. And as the fox walked past, the mountain lion called out, "Fox, why don't you come into my cave and pay me a visit? Many other animals have." And the sly old fox calls back, "Ah, yes," he says, "I know many animals have paid you a visit. I can see their footprints going into the cave. But do you know what? I can't see their footprints coming out of the cave again." And so he knew what would happen. So he said, "I don't think I'll pay you a visit. You know, that cave is like death for us human beings. We all have to go into that cave at some point. Every human being has gone into that cave. And none of us come out again. Except Jesus." This is, you know, when Christians say this, we're not being naive. It's not because we're stupid. We know this is a ridiculous thing to say. This is, makes Jesus absolutely unique. If it were not true, it would be ridiculous. If the evidence was not overwhelming for this, and if you'd want to check out the evidence, by the way, don't dismiss it as thinking it doesn't happen, therefore it couldn't have happened, therefore I'll dismiss all the evidence. Go away and look at the evidence. There have been loads of people who started off from a position of not believing it, who've looked at the evidence and concluded it's the only possible explanation that Jesus is alive. And if you want to know some books you can read, I can give you some books or let you know some books you can read about that. Jesus is alive. His heart beats. He is the one man who's come back. And does that mean? That surely means if we're going to get excited about any one person in the whole history of the world, it is this person. People get excited about all kinds of people, don't they? People get excited about wonderful footballers. People get excited about talented celebrities. Some people get excited about less talented celebrities. Some people even get excited about politicians. They think politicians are going to come and save the day. What if we get excited about anyone else, the man who came back from the dead, surely we have to get excited about him, don't we? Surely he's worth following. If you follow any of these other guys, are they going to lead the way out of the cave of death? No. Oh, but you say, "I don't want to follow anyone. I'm my own person. I go my own way. I plow my own furrow. Don't need anyone to follow." Oh, well, that's fine. And you can come out of that cave too, can you? On your own, in your own strength. You can find your way out of death, can you? No way. But Jesus has. He is the one man worth following. Because his heart beats again. That's an amazing thing. But the other thing that's very interesting about this is that if you had been Jesus, you'd come back to life again. And you want, surely you'd think, "Well, I want now to everyone to see that I've come back to life again." So you might think, "Well, I'll go and appear in the most crowded place possible. I'll go to the middle of Jerusalem, go to the temple courts, I'll show myself there and say, 'Look, I'm alive. I'm alive.'" It's interesting that didn't happen. It's interesting that he first appeared to the people who cared about him most. He appeared to his followers, his disciples, his friends, the people who loved him. He appeared to those women and he spoke words of comfort to them. He spoke words of life to them. His focus was on them. "Greetings, do not be afraid." What a wonderful thing to say to these scared women. And that one word to Mary, her name, Mary. And she turned and said, "Master." This tells us that not only Jesus' heart beat, his heart beats for us. He loves and is concerned and cares for us. Just as he drew alongside those people there. He knows us, he loves us, and he wants your attention. Because he's alive. He's got a purpose for your life. And if you're ignoring him, you're ignoring that purpose. It's an amazing thing. Mary heard his voice, calling her name. And she turned around and said, "Master." You know, perhaps you are genuinely hearing his voice this morning. Perhaps you come along week by week. Maybe you're a visitor. This is your first time. Perhaps you just always resist. You come along on a Sunday, but you resist doing anything about this. You suspect that what you're hearing might be true, but you don't want to think about it because it means stepping out of your comfort zone. It means you might have to change. It means you can't just live your own way. And that's scary. You don't want to do that. So you harden your heart and you go away and you ignore Jesus the rest of your time. Friend, if Jesus is calling your name this morning, then do what Mary did. Turn and say, Master. Make him your Lord, your boss. Follow him. Because his heart beats for you. The man who defeated death, he's got your interests at his heart, and he wants the best for you. You know, sometimes when footballers score a goal, sometimes, I'm sure this happens on Charlie's team all the time, they do their goal celebrations, and they pull up their shirts to reveal another shirt underneath, and sometimes they've got, like, the picture of their baby or somebody special to them, and they're, like, dedicating the goal to that person, aren't they? And you'd see that sometimes. Or they do that little celebration thing, whatever. When Mo Farah, you know Mo Farah the runner? When he won his first gold medals, he said, these medals are for my daughter. And then he went away and had a few more children. So he had to win a few more gold medals to give to his other children. He was dedicating, he was giving that victory to his children. You know, Jesus won an amazing victory on the cross and then by being raised up. But he gives his victory to his people. Because he loves us and he cares for us. He won it for us. His heart beats for us. That is amazing. But there's another amazing thing about this too. You know, we can think, and it's right to say, this Easter, the first Easter, that was an amazing, unique event that happened nearly 2,000 years ago, and nothing ever has happened like it before. That's true. But there's another sense in which every time somebody turns away from going their own way and turns and accepts Jesus as their Savior and Lord and starts following him, every time somebody becomes a Christian, that's what we mean when we talk about people becoming a Christian, that miracle happens again. Because Jesus, when that happens, Jesus gives that person his life. He joins their life to his life. He gives them his heart. And so we can say, after that, his heart beats in us. He gives us his very life. The Bible talks about having new hearts. New hearts that are able actually to start doing what God wants us to do. New hearts that are not just so taken up with self and selfishness that we're just consumed by what we want. We can actually start looking out and loving other people. Certainly don't get anywhere near perfection straight away. Of course, it's a lifetime of we're moving in that direction. And we get things terribly, terribly wrong. And he forgives us again and again. But we can at least start moving that way because he gives us his heart, his life in us. He joins us to his life. Paul talks about, in one of his letters, he talks about Christ in you. Christ's life in you. The hope of glory. That's where our hope is. The hope of glory. Being joined to Jesus' life. Having his heart beating in us, walking with him, knowing the risen Lord Jesus as a friend and as our Lord day by day. You know, there are people here, just ordinary people here for whom that is a reality. There are ordinary people all around us. You can give all the evidence you like about God not being there and this all being a fairy story. But these people just know that he's real because they've walked with him along the way. His heart beats in us if we follow him. That's an amazing thing. You know, we've seen those dreadful pictures. We watched Notre Dame go up in flames, didn't we? Notre Dame de Paris this week. Terrible, terrible thing. President Macron, the French president, said Notre Dame is our history. It's our literature. All the great events of our history have happened in and around there, he was saying. He said, it's at the heart of our lives. That's what he said. It is at the heart of our lives. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross, it looked like the flames of the evil of human beings had consumed him. It looked like the schemes of the devil were having their way. It looked like the destruction of death was going to lay him low. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And this is it. This is the central pillar of our faith. It's not a building. It's this reality that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. If this is not true, let's all go home and watch the football on the telly or whatever's on. Let's find some other way of trying to find meaning in our lives, because it's futile. Our lives are futile and everything is tiny and just not worth it if this is not true, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Because if this is true, this means new life. This means new hope. This means purpose. And this means we have a future. Those people who've lost their lives in Colombo today, I don't know, last figure I heard was 138. It may well be more. Many of them, I imagine, if churches have been targeted, many of them will be believing Christians. That's a terrible, terrible thing. Their families will be grieving. But because Jesus rose from the dead, those people will be with Christ right now for eternity. That's our hope. And it starts here. We don't have to wait till we die to start enjoying eternity. It starts right here. Hear his name and turn and respond to him this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus' heart beats. He really is alive. If there's anyone here who's struggling to believe that, that just seems ridiculous. I pray, Lord, that you'll just help them to see the evidence for themselves and draw their own conclusion. Father, those of us who know him, who love him, yes, we may have doubts, but we know, we just can see too much evidence of how he's worked in our lives for this not to be true. Thank you so much. Help us to hear you calling us this morning and to follow you, that you have our best at heart. Your heart beats for us and your heart beats in us.